Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming. So this session would be more of a deep dive on one particular feature aspect of Pulsar. Maybe not a feature you need, but I hope this is interesting, how to show how it is implemented and how it works. So I want to thank you, Nozomi, for the nice introduction of Pulsar and overview. So I won't cover anything else about Pulsar. So if you weren't here before for the previous session, just know that this pops up and go on the website. There is a ton of documentation and blog posts and articles and everything that you can discover. All the feature sets and what Pulsar is and does. So I'll just get started then. So just introduction, who I am. My name is Matteo Merli. I'm the recently appointed PMC chair for Apache Pulsar. We just graduated 2 days ago on Tuesday, so it's we've been 1 year in the Apache incubator. I'm also a member of the Apache Bookkeeper PMC, and Pulsar uses Bookkeeper as you've seen before as the storage layer. And I'm one of the co-founders of Streamio, which is a company that we offer services, and we have a product that is based on these technologies. And I've been working on Pulsar and at Yahoo for multiple years, so since the project got started at internally there.
What year was that?
So the project was starting in 2012. Although it was a kind of the evolution for other systems that were there at Yahoo since the 90s. So, but, I mean, we started from scratch in a way, but taking that we had this system, we want to re-implement it, but like taking all these lessons and the operational knowledge that was there in the company.
Do you still work at Yahoo?
I left Yahoo a year ago.
They let all their good talent leave, don't they, with all these open source projects?
That's what our manager was saying, that I want to open source, then other people will leave the company after that. But that's not a discussion. So since we talk about effectively ones, so we try to define what are the messaging semantics, the usual ones. And so the traditional literature, you have at most ones, at least ones, and exactly ones. And there are different degrees of what people means with each of these semantics. People think about different things. But the first two are kind of less error-prone. So at most ones, most people understand immediately what it means. Means that message can be delivered either zero or one time. In the practice, most system will be either zero, one, or two or three times. That's kind of the ballpark there. In Pulsar, we support this with the meaning of non-persistent topics. Non-persistent topic means that we completely cut off the storage layer. We just go through the brokers and broker will deliver. In this case, if the broker crashes, you lose data. If a consumer is not there to receive the message will be dropped. There is no buffering, no disk, no replication. It's the least amount of guarantee that you can get. Although, again, even for us, it's not exactly at most ones, because producer might be resending to broker. So it could end up having some duplicates in some way. It's not like very likely, but you can get duplicates there. Again, so even as we are not really exactly at most ones. So when it is at most ones, a good thing. So first of all, it has very low overhead in terms of you have no disk, so it's very cheap. You can have a very high throughput at the expense of losing data. So one use case that's very important is for telemetry data. For telemetry, you keep have many sensor stats, sensor informations, and it is important to have the very last value of each of them to put on a dashboard or to know to trigger alerts. But if there is some failure, you don't want to have telemetry data for one hour. You prefer to get, okay, skip it and just give me the last value. So that's really that. And so each every time there when like new data over overcomes all the data, that's an option. So for example, at Yahoo, one use case was to have performance monitoring for CDN. So you have multiple CDNs. Some are, for example, like external providers for CDNs, and you want to route your users to the best performing CDN depending on current traffic conditions. So you need to have the user perspective of what the latency is, what the throughput is in getting a delay, for example, for video CDNs. So there is a lot amount of feedback stats that coming from each user. For example, like if you have a video player, it will know what's the bitrate and so on. And this information will come, say, every second. So every second, each user will tell you what's the current rate. And if you miss some of these updates, it doesn't matter. What you want to know is that overall, you can assess, get all this information, so put that in a central place, run a stream processing job, and process all this information, and detect that this CDN is not performing well. So I can route my users to another CDN, for example, or take some actions there. Another, like,
what is a message when you're talking about a TV program? What do you define as a message?
I don't know. So here, for example, like if you say a video CDN, right? So you have a video player. This video player will send messages back, irrespective of the video stream, like out of band. Say that my bitrate is, say, 1 megabit per second, and or I'm lagging behind 10 seconds because there is some hiccup, or I'm buffering. That way, the video player will tell you and will report back that info so that you can rack and say, this CDN provider A is experiencing some slowness, so I will just route you to another CDN.
So you're talking about the video receiver sending the message.
No. So this is one use case for at most once is
right.
Processing all this telemetry data.
Who's sending the at most once message?
The video player will put back all the stats.
The video player is sending the message.
Yes. And another like use case is in industrial IoT. So industrial IoT, we have some concrete example for that you have some industrial complex, and it has a lot of sensors, a lot of systems, and you want to have dashboards with all this stuff. And these stats will come in every second, so or even lower than that. So it doesn't matter if you lose some of those, as long as you have the current value on the displayed. So Nest is at least once. Again, this is very common, and the message will be delivered either one or more than one time, right? Again, this is not always the case for many systems because they don't really talk about durability. So if you cannot guarantee durability, then what happens if you broke a disk or if you have a power outage, and then suddenly your at least once becomes again zero or one or more, right? So there's a large degree of what that means. So that's the general concept, but if you drill down of what's your really guarantee and what's the likelihood of getting the message at least once is very different from different systems. But implementation here is that throughout the system, at every step, if there is a failure, there will be a reattempt to send. So producer to the broker to consumer, and so on. So, and applications can either just live with duplicates and just bubble the duplicates to the users. Might not be a very good experience, but in some cases it's acceptable. Or they could use some domain knowledge to perform the duplication. If you know that your messages have some properties, you can exploit that and make sure that you can easily duplicate the duplicates. Or for example, like if you insert into a database, that's easy. You can just use a column, indexes, and basically have a database to do the duplication for you. And the most interesting one is exactly once. This is the most controversial as well. So there is no really formal definition of what exactly once means. Everyone means understand it in a different way. And every vendor in the history of databases, messaging systems, or anything has claimed exactly once always, and with a wild range of differences. In some cases, like there are a lot of yes, we are exactly once, but only if there are no crashes. And sure, that's easy, right? That the interesting part is when there are crashes. Otherwise, if I cannot have like 100% guarantee, then I cannot build my application based on that assumption, right? So I have to deal with those effects myself. So as I said, there's no formal definition, unlike like for example like things like consensus that you use with things like Paxos or Raft. That's well defined what consensus is, or atomic broadcast. The properties of that model are very well defined. So there was like some controversy last year about whether exactly once was similar to consensus or atomic broadcast. There were like discrepancies on the internet and on that. So we started to steer away from that and try to really think about what an application need as a guarantee. So that's why we call it effectively once, because the messages will be sent multiple times. That's inevitable. If you have crashes, you have to send messages multiple times because you might not know whether the message went through or not, or whether it was processed or not. But the important part is that you want to make sure that the message is processed at exactly one time, therefore the effects of the resulting state for that event will be observed only one time. Now,
does the one time that result or the effect based on the messaging system, or is it based on processing of the business end of the target?
So, yes, that's a very, very good point. So, what we will have here is that we can provide hooks and methods for an application to easily achieve that processing. It's basically end-to-end exactly once, right? But the way it's done is that this is not any black magic or anything revolutionary, right? So it's very basic stuff. So the important part here is that we have to do is that we need to be able to identify and discard messages that are being duplicated. And we need to be able to do that with 100% accuracy in presence of any kind of failures, multiple failures, as failures at every step. And nevertheless, messages will be sent and resent and redelivered multiple times, but at every step, will we be able to identify them as duplicate and discard them. So why should I care about effectively once? Why can't I just live with at least once, and which guarantees me that I won't lose data? Most of the time, you are fine with at least once. Most applications are fine with that. It's easy, and it doesn't have any more additional cognitive load to go through that. But in some cases, you want to be a very, very fast and correct stream processing. So you want to have a stream processing job that has the result now and has the result as correct and doesn't double count events, double count overspend, and so on. So if what you are tracking is very critical and is critical that is being correct and right now, that's one good option. Another is that if by providing the duplication at the messaging layer level, we can ensure that application developers don't need to do most of the work. So it's kind of like taking the burden out of their shoulders. Finally, just to provide a better user experience, right? So if you if you send a notification twice to a user on the mobile, you get annoyed because why are you telling me twice that these things happen? I know already. So if you can avoid those, that's kind of better user experience. Okay, so what can fail in a system? So I left out the story for now, just to make sure that all kind of possible scenarios, and this is just a subset, but in our case, so we have producers that send messages to a broker, will send them to consumers. So both of them are connected to a broker, right? What can happen here is that the TCP connection might fail. There can be a network partition, there could be whatever errors in the connection. And what happens in this case, producer will reconnect to the broker and it will resend any message that was not acknowledged by the broker. Again, this means, so if I had, like, say, one message outstanding that I didn't get an ACK, I will resend it, and that would be a duplicate. And same for consumer, right? So the broker will send a message to consumer. Consumer has not ACKed that message. Connection breaks, consumer reconnects, broker will resend the same message. Again, that's another duplicate there. Then a broker can fail. Broker is a process. We have multiple brokers. Failover is guaranteed, right? So it would be almost immediate. Broker crashes. Consumer producer will reduce service discovery internally and will figure out that the topic has moved now to broker 2. Reconnect to broker 2 and continue from there. But again, whatever broker has pending will be resent, and whatever consumer had pending will be resent by broker 2. So you have duplicate in this case as well. Or also, producer and consumer can fail. So this is a bit more tricky to handle because it kind of involves also some cooperation from the application. We can provide hooks here, but it cannot be as easy as no work for the application because it involves kind of the domain of the messages that are being published here. But this component can fail, so we need to help the application to avoid duplicates in this scenario. And finally, so we say that processor has dual replication. Dual replication works across clusters. So you publish on one region, and data gets replicated into your other region. Again, connection can break, brokers can fail on both ends, and the messages can be duplicated. So let's try to break the problem into two halves. The first thing is that we need to be able to be able to ensure that the message is being stored only once. So that can be achieved by having producer idempotency. Idempotency means that I publish a message and I have a failure. I don't know whether it was published or not. I republish the same message. The system will detect that the message was duplicated in some way, and it will not store it again. And the second part is, so this is on the producer side, in a way. The second part is that, fine, I have my topic with my messages there, and I know that messages will be stored. I don't have duplicates in my topic, right, in the storage. Next, I need to allow applications to be able to process messages only once. So I didn't put a producer, right? So the important part here is that the producer broker needs to be able to detect and discuss messages while they're being retransmitted. So it needs to detect that a message has been is the same as before. And it needs to be able to work even if a broker crashes, right? So that can be tricky, but I'll explain how we're doing that. It also needs to be able to work when a producer application crashes. So the first part is identifying producers. So identify producer, we use a producer name. So by default, if you don't set anything, a producer will get an auto-generated name, which is guaranteed to be unique globally. But you can also specify a name yourself, and that can be used, for example, to so that if the application crashes and comes back, it can say that I am a producer A from before. I'm the same guy. I will continue from here. The other key part that we use to track messages is that we use sequence IDs. So in messages, in messaging, the main problem is that the data space is unbounded. So we cannot keep track of all message IDs because that will keep growing, right? And there is no, unless you keep a time boundary and say, oh, I do exactly once on a 10-minute window or a 1-minute window, and then I just keep message IDs for that last minute window, but then your guarantee is not is exactly once. Your guarantee is exactly once as long as no one is more is later than 10 minutes, which is a kind of a weak guarantee, right? It's kind of like best effort scenario, which you cannot really depend your application on. Sure. Yes, so that's what we do actually. So we attach sequence IDs on each message, each producer on a topic will have its own name, which is an identifier of that producer, and its own sequence of messages. And each message, so each message will have a producer name and sequence ID. So just to sort of like a graphical representation, I hope it's clear. So the way we detect duplicates is that, for example, let's say that we have a topic, we have two producers, producer A and B, and each of them is sending its own sequence of messages. Producer A will send A1 and then A2. Producer B will send B1. So the way we implemented the duplication is that they both send the messages. These messages are in flight from producer to broker. Then we get to broker. The broker first will have basically a hash map with the last sequence ID that was pushed from brokers to storage. And this one is the map, basically, of, for each producer, what was the highest sequence ID that was stored. And these two, basically, are hash map in memory in the broker. Now, to guarantee that this information is accurate, always, even after crashes, there is a method of logging as snapshot, which I'll cover. So the first step is that producer will push messages to broker. So broker will receive messages and will basically forward them to storage, right? So again, this serialization is happen at the broker level. So we get A1, B1, A2 as they come in by the producers. So the first step is to record that the high sequence ID that was sent out. So that's the current information here. So producer A, the highest one is 2, producer B is 1. And they get pushed to storage.
Is A1 and A2 the same message?
No. So these are the sequence ID. So this means message from producer A, sequence ID 1. This is sequence ID 2. So these are, from the application perspective, these are two logically different messages.
If A1 gets lost, it will not continue, it will not send A2, 3, 4.
That's correct, yes. So TCP connection here, TCP connection here, but basically the order of the storage is determined here. And if there is a failure, everything will be guaranteed to be closed after that, and we can reconcile and update that map accordingly.
So, is the sequence ID tied to the partition of the topic?
So each partition will have its own sequence of IDs
from the producer side.
Yes.
just curious. So if say some, you know, you have this communication going on, producer A crashes, and in the meantime, the topic was kind of reorganized and we added a few more partitions. When the producer A comes back up and it tries to retransmit the, you know, what data it thought it had not transmitted, if it retransmits, does it go to the same broker? Because now you have got more partitions than maybe.
So the thing is that if you add partitions, you lose ordering, right? Because ordering is guaranteed per partition, right? So if you want to achieve ordering, you have to basically hash your message keys into, by default, you specify message keys so that each message goes to a particular partition, always for the same key. But if you increase the number of partitions, which you can, but the you will have this momentary loss of ordering, because whatever was hashing in a way now is hashing in a different way. So you can do it, but you have this loss of order, so you shouldn't do it if you need about ordering.
So in that situation, do you see that there could be either data loss or data replication? I mean, forget loss because, you know, it's a retransmit.
Yeah, doesn't.
Could there be a situation where you have a duplication of data because of that situation?
Yes. That won't work in this kind of scenario.
But you do allow, you do support multiple partitions for topic, even for the exactly one topic.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, yes.
That's if the sequence is an increasing number.
Yes.
My question is, does it have to be? Can the sequence be just really
active? The sequence has to be increasing.
Always has to.
Yes. Because otherwise, we will have to keep all these IDs. Like if it is an arbitrary ID, we have to keep the whole space of IDs. If it is increasing, it doesn't have to be sequential. It can be jumped from 10 to 20 to 50 to 51 to and then 80. Doesn't matter. But it has to be monotonically increasing. Because of that, we can just keep the highest one.
Is the sequence number per message?
Yes. Per logical message, yes.
And that's required by the producer? To have, like,
if you don't,
monotonically increasing.
If you don't specify it, it will get automatically assigned when you publish, when you say producer send. But you can specify. If you can tie that message to a particular domain logic, for example, some offset in a file, some other database transaction ID, something like that, then you should do it because that's it ties basically the whole chain.
If you don't want to maintain a relationship between messages, because you said earlier that if you were sending A1 and it failed, A2 would make it through.
Yes.
So what if you just wanted to send individual messages that are independent?
They are independent. They are
independent, but
except A2 is not going to go through if A1 fails, so that's not independent.
Well,
you're cheating here.
The thing is, you have a single producer here, and a single topic. It's like within a topic, everything gets serialized into a sequence, arbitrary sequence, as messages as come in, and then they will put to storage in the same topic. Right? If you really want to be them independent, then you can use multiple topics.
The guarantee is order.
The guarantee, yeah, is order. Yeah. Yes. So only after it gets stored in multiple nodes, a configurable number of nodes. After that, you get acknowledged there, and then we get the...
But this is, I don't know if you're familiar with Kafka. This is like an acknowledgement mode when you send it to all.
It's different. So the replication model for Bookkeeper is... So the high level... Oh yeah, I will cover that. But just to know that at high level, yes, you have your data is replicating multiple nodes. You get the ACK after message has been stored in multiple nodes. But the replication model internal of Bookkeeper is very different from what Kafka does, and it allows us for much higher throughput and lower latency because of the That's not a talk, though, because the, otherwise I will diverge into that. I can go through offline.
Just to summarize, sure. Those, you got three messages up there. They all have sequence number one.
No. So this one, these are from same producer. This is A from producer A.
Different message.
Yes, but he has this guy has sequence one. This guy has sequence two. Same producer. Does that make sense?
I thought each message, each individual message.
No, each producer has a sequence of IDs, right? If I'm producer A, I will send A1, A2, and next.
No, but that's
next.
Identifying the producer.
No, A identified the producer. This is producer A, and this is producer B. So A will have its own sequence 1, 2, 3. B will have its own sequence 1, 2, 3.
On different messages.
On different messages.
It wouldn't make any sense to put the sequence on each. Exactly or effectively once message.
Yeah, that's what
if
I
knew I had to deliver it 10 times, I might have a sequence, but
yes.
Never run
yes.
across that scenario.
That's what I wanted to make sure, because to make it exactly once, I wanted each message transmission numbered so the guy knows when he's being.
You have to negotiate that out.
So the thing here is that if there was a failure here, producer will A will have sent A3, but it will not get a knack. Well, even at this point, it will not get a knack for any of these, right? So if there was a failure here, the client library will resend A1, A2, and A3 again, but with the same sequence ID as before, calling A1, A2, and A3. That's the key part here.
So you're probably going to get into it, but I assume there's some negotiation going across all of the components of what I got last in order to avoid the duplication.
There is, yes. So, but on the flight is these two hash maps basically, as I say. So this is the last ID that was pushed from broker to storage, and this is the last sequence ID that was stored, guaranteed stored. So at this point, nothing was stored yet. So we just pushed three messages. So if you go on next step, now the storage will tell that, okay, in the same order as they were written, the ACKs will come back here, right? And more messages will be in flight from broker to storage. This map has been updated. Last pushed was 3, last push for B2. And producer will keep sending more messages, A4, A5, and B3. So everything keeps flowing. Since we got the ACK from here, now we update this map. So A1, A2 was last store, B1 was the last store. At this point, we also send the acknowledgement back to producer in order, A1 and A2, and B1 to producer B. And we keep sending. So this basically is a kind of like the high watermark here that was sent here. So A5 in this case. So the point here is that if producer tried to send again messages, the only thing that we have to check here is that is the sequence ID higher than what I have in this map? And this basically is just one hash map lookup, local memory. So it doesn't have any effect on the throughput. And sure. So it bookkeeper guarantees in the acknowledgement in order.
In order, although it's a different topic.
No, this is a single topic. So here we have two producers, but on the same topic. Otherwise, there would be no ordering.
Is the hash a memory lookup? It's not time bound at all. You're able to do it because it has to have like.
No, it doesn't have all the IDs. That's the thing. So since the sequence IDs are monotonically increasing, we just keep the last one. So the only thing is that we have one item per producer. So again, if you have hundreds of thousands of producers, it can be big.
You could scale that, yeah.
But it's a 1-point lookup, yeah.
So you know, you have the producer. Mm-hmm. You make a call to say send message, message A7. Mm-hmm. Library talks with the broker and does all the negotiations.
Yes.
Does the send call that was initiated by the by my application, does it have an ACK back, or is it a future or like?
You have both options. Either you block, say call send, or you can call send async and you get a computable future in which you can put a call back, or is a Java computable future. If it's Python, is a callback. If it's Go, is a channel or something like that. But because, yes, you have a confirmation that comes back only when the ACK gets received here, and at that point you get propagated to the application.
You have to do some work on your side to make sure there's effectively once transmission. So for example, if I don't check for the ACK from my send call and there was a failure, I mm-hmm. need to recall, I need to resend the data.
You always have to do that because you are a distributed system. You have your brain space. Things
yes.
can happen on the right side or on the distributed system. So you always have to do that.
But so one other addition here is that there cannot be timeout, right? You cannot say I want to publish, but I do timeout because that basically, and then if that fails, you cannot give up. So if you say exactly once, you have to say timeout zero means no timeout, and keep timing forever. Now, that's kind of like one of the trade-off. So the thing that I haven't talked here is a snapshot, right? So far we say we have these two hash maps in memory, but these are not enough. If the broker crashes, the other new one will not know about that, right? So we need to be able that if a broker crashes, one of them will take over. We need to be able to reconstruct these two hash maps, basically. And we do that with a snapshot. So the snapshot is based on the topic storage. So as we said, messages are serialized in a topic, right, as they come in. So we have A1, A2, B1 in the order that they were published, right? And this is the duplication. So we know that there is one copy only. But the snapshot basically is based on a cursor. So we have a cursor. This cursor points to a particular message in the topic. And this cursor also has attached the map. So in this case, it was that the highest for producer A was sequence D4, the highest for B was 2 at this point. And we are moving into this direction. So new writes will get appended here.
Are those stored?
So this cursor is stored, right? Is stored, but it's not stored every time. It's stored periodically.
It's stored every snapshot. You get a cursor.
Every once in a while, you take a snapshot and we move the cursor. So when we move the cursor, basically what happens is that before we got A4 and B2, now we just move fast forward here, and we say every 1,000 or an amount, and now we update the cursor with, say, A6 and B4 and point here.
That's your stack of stored.
That information is stored. And the cursor with this information and the pointer here is stored atomically. So either you move the cursor and update the map here, or if you fail, you're still in the old one back. So the only thing that on recovery, what you have to do is basically is read that snapshot and replay everything after that. And since we take a snapshot every n amount of entries, your recovery time is limited by that. So if you say, I take a snapshot every 1,000, yes, I have to write the snapshot every 1,000 entries, but on recovery, I have to replay only up to 1,000 messages. So yes, this as a way, the snapshot and cursor updates are atomic. Cursor updates are stored in Bookkeeper as well. That's what we use as for storage for everything, and these are durable and replicated. So on recovery, we just load the cursor, read the snapshot, reconstruct the two maps the two hash maps and then replay everything after that just to update the hash map with the latest value. And this is done before the topic is visible to new producers. So before is available for new publishes. Okay, so this cover broker crashes, for example. It still doesn't cover application crashes. So what happens if a producer crashes? The first thing is that the producer needs to say that I am the guy from before. I was producer A before. I don't want to come back up, and now I'm producer XYZ, because otherwise the broker will not be able to relate the two.
You have the producer identified.
Yes, that's what we have. And the other thing is that in practice, this is only useful if you have a repairable source. A repairable source can be a file or HDFS or anything like that, or you have a streams with an offset that you can restart from, or you have database transaction log or anything like that. Because if you do have online requests, for example, let's say that you have an HTTP service that takes a HTTP request and publish a message, if that crashes, it doesn't really make sense to restart and say I'm the guy from before, because the request was failed anyway. So there is no continuity between the two sessions. So you can still use effectively once as a way to eliminate duplicates in processing, eliminate all the like in protocol and client to broker, broker to bookie and whatever duplicates. But you cannot restart a session because it doesn't really make it's not really useful. So, as you say, we have a producer name, and that's what it identifies. So this producer name has to be unique, has to be globally unique in the system. If you don't set it, it is, by default, globally unique. It's auto-generated. We also set sent amount to zero. Again, if you want to make sure that the message gets once, you have to wait forever if there are failures. And one other thing is that once you create the producer, you can ask what was the last sequence ID from my producer that was sent. That can be useful for you don't have to store that data somewhere else.
That was stored.
That the broker knows where it is, right?
So you're asking the last sequence ID stored.
That was published, yes. So you create a new producer. You say, I am my producer name from before. Before I start, tell me what was the last sequence ID that you got in storage, and now I can start from next one. So for example, like let's say that you have that you're reading records from a file or some whatever system you have, right? I get the producer. I say, what's the last sequence ID? And for my application, a sequence ID might relate to a file offset. File offset is monotonically increasing. So I know that that was the last sequence ID. So I can say my source, OK, seek to that offset and start reading for that. The other thing that I can do is that while the source has more records to publish, I first check what's the current offset on the source, and I also tag each message with the sequence ID. I set it to the offset on the source. So basically, I'm tying the file offset to a particular message sequence ID. That's I know, but if we had to track like UIDs, we have to keep the whole unbounded. So you can still do that. Like if you want to deduplicate based on UIDs, for example, you can just write into that database and put a unique constraint on that. That's kind of, but you can do that with at least one semantics, right?
If you have like billions of events, then you're not gonna write billions.
Yes, but if you have billions of events, you cannot keep all of them in memory or check them efficiently, right? You cannot track all of them in an unbounded amount window of time. That's kind of the tricky part here is that the time, so the events keep coming in and you cannot put a box in the time window. So yes, you have to you need to have some kind of sequence to tie with that.
In this example, like file content changed over the time, but not offset, right? So you have like CSV file with 100 records, a new CSV file, but you keep sending 1 to 100 MMID.
No, you get a new number that starts from the last thing.
Okay, so
your sequence is tied to your offset.
Yes. It's a sequence for the producer.
Yes, that's true. But here, when you put in this example, your source has an offset.
The source, yeah. So this is like an example source that reads record from a file or some kind of file, right? So that in a file you have an offset, right? This could be a stream. This could be a database transaction log. You have transaction ID or something like that. It doesn't say that I'm getting this property of the source of my application domain and I tie that to the sequence ID to do the duplication. Okay, I have a few slides and five minutes, so I try to get through them.
Four minutes,
sorry, yes. Okay.
Really, it's 10 minutes.
Okay. So next part is consumer side, right? So consumer side, we say that, so typically in messaging, we have consumer API in Pulsar, and consumer API basically works with a managed subscription. And you can track individual messages as well. But the point is that you subscribe to a topic, and then you say, receive, do something, and acknowledge. Now, this is very convenient. You don't have to know about where am I reading from, where should I start reading from, and so on. But the two operations of processing and acknowledge are not atomic. So you can process and then crash, and you can message again, and you process twice. Or you can process and acknowledge, but the acknowledgement doesn't go through, and then you get message again. So it's very convenient, but it's not really suitable for effectively once. You can still do effectively once, but you have to rely on the downstream service. So if you write into that database, yes, you can just add an index with a message ID or some other property of the message that you have. Or you can do some kind of critical write. For example, like if you write into HBase or Zookeeper or anything like that has a comparison set, you can just do that and make sure that you can tie that to the properties of the message in the application domain. That will do the duplication for you. Because of that, we have introduced a lower level API. So this is the reader. The reader is not managed. So the reader, you have to specify, I want to get a reader on this topic. I want to read from this position. It could be from the beginning of time, from the end of the stream, or from a specific message ID. If you take one example, I can create a reader, and I can store my message ID into some database. Doesn't matter where, and I create a reader on this topic, and I say I want to start from this last message ID, and then I can say okay, read next, and for each message I have the payload, but I also have message ID, and I can process the message. So there's no acknowledgement here, because the server personal service will not keep track of where the reader is. It just scans through the topic, but what you can do here is that you can process the message and store the message ID along with the message. So for example, you do something, get some output, and you can either write into a file or write into a database your state and your message ID. So if you come back up, what you can do is that get the last message ID that was stored in the database and recreate a new reader from that particular message ID. So that will guarantee that the effect of messages will be perceived only once. Okay, I am getting cut off. Just yes, we have it. One of the things, just really like 10 seconds go through. We have functions, and in function, effective ones is automated. So you can just enable effective one semantics in functions. And so postal functions is that just basically have submit some processing, and we get a consumer and a producer. So internally, it works as a consumer and a producer, and it gets source topic and sync topic. If you enable effectively once, it will automatically get, basically it ties the message ID from the source and it publish when it publish on the sync, so that you don't have to do any complicated logic for that. Finally, the performance. So we guarantee the duplication in all failure scenario. The overhead is minimal. We have only two hash memory lookup in memory. So there's no reduction in throughput and no increased latency. And you can control how the recovery times, how much it can be increased by setting the limit of the numbers. Finally, if you compare with Kafka, there are different approaches there. In Kafka, it's not really always guaranteed. It doesn't guarantee you that when a processor crashes, it can come back up with that. And the other thing is that the throughput in Kafka will decrease from 70k to 50k. In Pulsar, we can stay constant at 40 and 100k messages per second at 1k kilobyte. And if you're close to learn more, go on the WebPy and questions. Thank you.